Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Bylon Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Veev TV and WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. And when I say modest, think cap. Straight up, I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was ranked number 13th in the country at one point in time, and I've won some awards for my boxing. So supposedly, I've got this big old head. I know something about boxing, okay? But guess what? The average boxing fan knows more. They have a different insight. So I open up the toll-free at the top of each hour once. 1-800-878-7529. If you've got something to say, if you want to rip me, you want to give me a new one, bottom line is, here's your opportunity. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, I know I'm going to get some heat for this one. Bottom line is, you've had Mexican Independence Weekend, you've had Cinco de Mayo, and this weekend is Mexican Abuse Weekend in the world of boxing. I kid you not. I'm talking about 3-4 Mexican opponents being put in fights where they're outsized or outclassed. In other words, you know, they're getting paid, but the bottom line is they don't have much of an opportunity to win. So that sort of stickles me a little bit. It's a problem for me. Bottom line is that's boxing in 2021. We'll talk about that in depth. Devin Haney in action last night, of course. And then, of course, George Kambosos is talking smack as well. So we've got both guys on today's show. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Make it 12 minutes past the hour. Of course, the WBC lightweight champion, or at least one of them, was in action last night. Talk about Devin Haney, of course, out of the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. That's where I live, but guess what? Nobody knows who he is here. In fact, you go up and down the street, hey, Devin Haney signs, people saying, who's that? Who the hell is that? Unless you're like a devout boxing fan. Well, guess what? Last night, the devout boxing fans, of course, tuned in on DAZN. Barry Hearn's basically Eddie Hearn's network, no doubt about that. But the bottom line is, he performed admirably. I'm talking about Devin Haney, of course, 25-0, now 26-0. It really doesn't matter. The numbers don't matter to me. I'm talking about quality of opposition. In other words, you know, he faced a guy last night that was smaller than him. I wish to God that in my days of fighting the amateurs, they would have gave me a whole lot of small guys to fight. Yeah, they gave me a couple of guys down there in the valley. But outside of that, you know, I didn't get to fight too many, I won't say midgets, but I will say guys that are so much smaller than you that you can just physically impose your will on them over time. Over time, it's going to happen. I mean, probably the same thing's going to happen tonight with Gervonta Davis and Pit Bull, because Pit Bull's like, what, 122, 125? You know, I mean, he's fighting 135-pounder, of course. And Davis, of course, hits like a welterweight at 135, 140 pounds, 130 pounds, wherever he happens to be fighting. But he might be the odd man out here, of course, because George Kambosos is the man in the driver's seat. He is the world lightweight champion. He defeated Teofimo Lopez. And I don't want to hear that crap about Lopez having a torn esophagus, this and that. That probably happened during the fight. They're trying to tell, the doctor was saying, yeah, he performed, yeah, he must have felt like he had a 300-pound weight on his back while he was trying to breathe. He didn't look like he was struggling to breathe or anything like that. He was struggling because the other guy was kicking his ass. There's a big difference between getting your ass kicked and being tired and being unprepared. And basically, he was unprepared, tired, and got his ass kicked, too. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. Lots of excuses. Maybe we'll go into that in hour number two. But, you know, I'm just, like, blown away by the fact that the boxing world came out this week and sort of put Tio on his spot. I mean, they did. The promoter Hearn put him on his spot. A couple Kambosos put him on his spot. Kambosos put him on his spot right then and there. I mean, Teofimo looked like a fool after that fight. Said, hey, I won the fight. He reminded me of a guy. that had been knocked out, and sort of like a couple minutes later, he was still like, hey, man, what's happening? You know, I mean, in other words, he's like coming back, but not all the way there. I think he might have got buzzed in that first round when he got knocked down and might have got buzzed a little bit later because he sounded like a knocked out fighter. I mean, I don't want to talk about early signs of pugilistic dementia or anything like that, but man, Teofimo was sounding like that. His front teeth were over his lower teeth as he was talking this and that. And I was just a little bit disturbed by that. But at the end of the night, he clearly lost the fight. I had a 115-112. I could have had a 115-111, but I went with 115-112. I gave the other man a round more than I thought he deserved. Now, last night, Devin Haney, of course, takes on a tough guy, but a tough guy, again, that's too small. When you fight guys that are too small, man, I got a problem with that because I told you before, you can't, how can I put this? Size matters in two things. I hate to repeat myself, but it's just so true. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And in combat sports, 3 pounds, 5 pounds, people say, oh, what's 3 pounds? What's 4 pounds? Well, guess what? I felt guys in the gym that are 3 or 4 pounds, 5 pounds bigger than me, and you can feel it then. You can feel it with 5 pounds, I'm telling you. So if you have guys like 118 pounds, 122 pounds, there's a big difference in size. Look at the guys at 108 pounds, 112 pounds. That's why they have weight classes. People say to me, hey, every 4 pounds, every 5 pounds, what's the difference? Well, there is a big difference in size, and size matters. Of course, as I said, Mexican abuse weekend, this is what this is going to be, no doubt about that, because Joseph Diaz, he put up a good fight. I mean, tough guy, went 12 rounds. I mean, the fight was probably about an 8-4 fight, 7-5 fight, something like that. But Haney definitely won. Of course, still the WBC title holder. Of course, at the same time, Kambosos holds the WBC belt as well. We'll hear about that in just a second. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, it looks like we've got a guy in George Kambosos that came to Devin Haney's fight. Unlike Errol Spence, he didn't run out of the place. Remember Errol Spence ran out of the arena after Crawford took out Sean Porter? He ran out of there. I mean, you look like they looked like you were accusing him of shoplifting, and he was running. Whoa! I mean, he was big-eyed Errol Spence running out of the place, okay? But the bottom line is, this is the way it's done. If you want to make fights, if you want to be a prolific guy and not just have numbers, you've got to be able to pull off stunts like last night. And I thought that was really cool. And Kambosos showing up. I mean, he waited a week later. I mean, imagine the homecoming this guy's going to get in Australia when he goes home. If 80,000 people are willing to pack a stadium, and I believe they can, okay, if 80,000 people pack a stadium, I'm imagining probably 300,000 to 400,000 people at the airport when he comes home. That's what kind of welcome this is going to be. But what did he do? He stuck around for another week just to go make the Haney fight or to try to make the Haney fight. Well, Devin Haney, was I really impressed? I think that making 135 pounds might be a problem for him as well. And I think, people say he's a bigger guy than 135. I just don't know if he's all that much. I mean, at one point in time, I thought he was like, he had like Sugar Ray Leonard-like moves. I mean, he did, and he showed flashes of brilliance maybe on one or two occasions, but you've got to be consistent, and you've got to fight great fighters. And, these guys are great champions. I want to call these guys the talking champions, with the exception of Kambosos, who talks it and backs it up. The other guys just talk and don't back it up. I mean, it's like the world of professional talking in boxing. Anyway, George Kambosos, here's what he had to say last night, post-Haney.
What did you guys tell each other when he came over and you congratulated him?
Mutual respect, man. Mutual respect. I mean, and like I said, now we can talk, and I took the glass off so he can see my eyes properly. Now
so he showed you enough. He showed you enough to, as far as what you were
looking for. He's got some other lightweights I've got to show as well. Yeah. I mean, so I'm not going to say he's a man straight away. But I like what I saw, and again, there is mutual respect. Business side's got to fit right. Then we can get it done in Australia.
You told me that money is not important for you.
Right.
It's everything coming together the right way. But I would imagine, even though there's a mix-up, people
money,
consider
money's
you that.
Come
but
with this fight. Yeah. Money is going to come with this fight. But again, it's about legacy. It's about what excites me. It's what I know is going to excite the fight fans, and I know what's going to do great, in Australia. So there are still a lot of different things that
I want
to bring to the table. And we'll go from there, but we'll see. I'm also trying to go. I want to fight. I want to get in there right now.
Based on like 1 to 10, like how likely do you think Devin is the next?
I can't give a number right now. Yeah. There are so many obstacles still. But again, I love the fight. I want the fight. Like I said, now we can talk. So people can see my eyes.
I want to just get your thoughts quickly of the Lopez report from earlier saying that he could have died in there. Well, what do you make of that?
At the end of the day, all the best in whatever he does in the rest of his career and whatever.
Scary thing, though, right?
What's your thoughts on it, man?
I'm in this position.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on it? Because he says team, they claim that he had a leg injury, he had arm injury, he had lung problems.
He had everything. All the best to him. I wish him all the best, whatever he does. If he does decide to ever come back to boxing, all the best to him.
Let me ask you this then. If not Devin, what's a bigger fight than Devin in your opinion? Is it Lomachenko? Is it Tank?
No, I think it's Tank.
It's Tank.
Because Lopez beat Lomachenko. Lopez beat Comey. So it'd be Tank, but then again, Ryan Garcia too. He's got a big following. So if he can get a nice good win, maybe early January, you know, ASAP, and look good, then he can be in the mix for sure.
He is the man. Get used to hearing that Australian voice. He is the lightweight champion of the world, bar none. I'm telling you about George Kambosos. Devin Haney's got a belt, a WBC belt. We'll probably hear a little bit controversy about that in the coming days. But the bottom line is they are going to settle a score. If Devin Haney's willing to go down to Australia and fight in front of 80,000 people, well, guess what? They're going to do this fight. There's no doubt about it. But if he wants to do a Ryan Garcia fight before, you know I'm a big Ryan Garcia fan. Everybody knows I'm a big Ryan Garcia fan. And even though I think that Ryan Garcia's anxiety issues might have been a public relations ploy, I think that he's a solid talent. I think he's a bad little dude. I mean, everybody says he's just a TikTok type of punk. He's no punk. I'm telling you, he got off the floor against Luke Campbell. And I know what it's like to get off the floor, but I only got off the floor one time and won because the other guy, they stopped the fight. The other guy got tired. I mean, I was like drained. Getting dropped, getting discombobulated in a professional fight. Of course, it's got many, many rounds and many minutes in front of it, for him to survive like that. Never been knocked down before. The first time you get knocked down, it's like a shock. It's like, you're just like blown. I mean, the first time I ever got knocked down was Dave Garcia knocked me down in Concord, California. I had never been knocked off my feet in my life in a street fight, in a boxing match, in sparring, nothing. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Okay. I didn't get used to that, but the bottom line is it happened a few more times. Okay. It would happen in a career. There's nothing about that. Of course, when you've got a career that spans off and on about 14 years. I did my thing early as a Boy Scout, as a Boy Scout. As far as the Boys Club was concerned, thought I was a really bad dude. Then I got into a real fight at the Boys Club with a guy named Eddie Smith, and we went 2-minute rounds. And guess what? I was going 1-minute rounds and beating guys with 1-minute rounds and thinking I was the king of the world. Well, guess what? We went to 2-minute rounds, and I was so tired I looked like I was an asthmatic. Well, I was an asthmatic, but I looked like I was suffering from an asthma attack, okay? So the bottom line is, you got in condition at that point in time. You learned the game. Of course, we finished off with 3-minute rounds. The opens, of course, are 3-minute rounds in the world of the amateur boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live last night. Of course, last night, Montana Love beat up on another poor Mexican, Carlos Diaz. Carlos came in at 29-1, left at 29-2. No surprise there. Guadalajara, he came to fight, but man, was he overmatched. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Godfather, Larry Merchant, after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
I want to get in there right now.
Today's crowd was pretty crazy. 80,000 in Australia. But
the crowd doesn't win fights. I do. Let's do it.
I know that. I dealt with that with Lopez.
Here he is. Devin Haney has his WBC title. And here's George Kambosos.
Right win. And now we can talk.
Well, he has most of the belt, so I have no problem with him being a favorite. At the end of the day, we got to go in there and settle it. Numbers don't matter when it comes to that, so let's just do it. That's all I care about.
Look, I'll give him his props. You know, at times he looked very sharp, and, he boxed brilliant. That's his game. He boxes nicely, so, styles make fights, and, if we make it happen, it's going to be an exciting fight, but now we can talk.
we got to see. Like he said, styles make fights. I still think I'm the best lightweight in the division. But talk is cheap. We got to go in there and settle it.
Many holes. I see the hole straight away. But again, I'm not going to outshine his moment. This is his moment. Full respect. Great win. Great victory. You handled your business. I handled my business last week. And let's get to the business side of things. And now we can talk. Hey, look, for me, that's not my business. WBC, franchise WBC, champion belt. You know, that's not my business. That's up to Mauricio. And I'm honored to be a WBC champion. He's honored to be a WBC champion. And you know what? We'll settle the difference.
The fans want to see it. He wants to make it happen. I want to make it happen. It should be a very easy fight to make happen.
80,000 people in Australia. I think this will be an epic event. Of course, Devin Haney, if he's got the, how can I put this, negotiating ability to go down to Australia, or put it this way, Godfather Larry Merchant, how can you turn down a fight in Australia with 80,000 people? That's going to guarantee some huge, huge money. And, of course, the pay-per-view money as well with the Zone or wherever they're going. How can Devin Haney turn that down?
You tell me.
I thought, you know, because everybody's like pulling out a fight.
Look, we're observers. Mm-hmm. We don't make deals. I think it's fair to ask about the matches. But the money enters into it and usually is decisive. So we don't know how much money they offered him. And we don't know whether there's a possibility of a bigger fight out there where he could make twice as much money. So I just don't know. I'm just interested in who's fighting who, and are they being coddled in their matchmaking, or are they taking on the best opponents?
Well, to an extent, you know, both guys, I mean, it seems like both Devin Haney and Gervonta Davis, who battles later today, are fighting guys that are smaller than him, Larry. And I know I sound a little corny when I say this, but size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. A few pounds in boxing, that's why they have weight divisions.
Excuse me. Isn't Davis a protege of Floyd Mayweather?
I think he wants to be.
I thought he was in his promotion company.
Yeah, he is.
Because as far as I know, he still hasn't been able to break through despite his remarkable knockout record, break through to the public.
Good point, good point. Of course, he's in action tonight, and that will be against Pitbull Cruz. I'll see how that goes. Pitbull's moving up from 122 pounds. But boxing, you know, I mean, for the most
part. Wait a minute. Tell me, Cruz is moving up from where?
I think he's moving up from 122 to 126 pounds, isn't he?
Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, from 122. I think his peak. I think he won the title.
And he's fighting at what, lightweight?
And he's fighting at lightweight.
Well, there's an instance of them just adding a
record, yeah, to pad somebody's.
You know, that's all. It's just, and it is what it is. It's gone on for centuries, okay. But you got to call it out when you see it.
Okay. Somebody shot me a question they wanted me to ask you this week. Do you think the Zone is the closest replacement we'll ever get to HBO, and is it fair to compare the two?
Look, things change in everything, and in sports as well, and in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Can it replace HBO? Sure, if it gets some good fighters on their roles. Mm-hmm. And puts on good fights. I mean, sure, it's possible. Let's see.
What was the magic at HBO? The fact that they could write the big checks?
Well, for at the time, yes. And they had leaders who loved sports. And boxing is the best sport you can put on television. And they went with that. But as they had great success and things evolved, there were changes at the top, and people there weren't as crazy about boxing and wanted to save some money for, I don't know, pilot shows and such.
Did boxing take a hit at HBO with my uncle Seth Abraham left?
Yeah, because, you know, there's a 1,000-page book out on the history of HBO.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know that.
I don't even know the name of it. But there is a new 1,000-page book on all of the corporate infighting and the personnel. My understanding is that when Seth Abraham left and Ross Greenberg took over, they cut the budget in half.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's guys at the top who didn't love sports or boxing as much. And here we are.
Well, when Uncle, I'll be full disclaimer, when Uncle Seth was running the show, I was making a lot of money with HBO. When Uncle Seth left, I still made a few bucks, but not a whole lot. But the bottom line is, when Uncle Seth was in town, I told you about the story where he called me a mensch one time, and I didn't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, and I was sort of freaked out about it, and somebody told me, it's a good thing.
All right, that's funny.
Yeah, I was like, well, because I didn't know him. I mean, he goes, so he puts his hand, and he goes, you're a man. And I said, oh, okay, what does that mean? Anyway, it means something good. Bottom line is, these guys are at least we're getting some action. We've got some fights coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to have Muhammad Ali's grandson on in hour number two. Any questions you think you want to pose to him?
I don't know much about him. What does he do?
Well, he's got two fights now. I think he's 2-0 with a couple of knockouts. He doesn't look like the second coming of Christ. As far as people,
how big? What weight class?
I think he's a 154.
Uh-huh.
You know, but he looks like he's got a little ability, and of course he wants to carry on the name and things like that. We'll talk about that in depth with him in hour number two. Of course, having spent some time around his grandfather, this will be fun. Back to Larry Merchant in HBO. When you look at the big times in HBO, you know, the fact that when Mike Tyson got knocked out, when Jim Lampley said that Mike Tyson has been knocked out, was there any ever bigger moment at HBO and HBO Sports, do you think?
I can't think of one at HBO Sports. But listen, when Hearns fought Hagler, that was 8 minutes when you couldn't breathe.
Yeah, I was there, yeah. We stood up during, it was crazy. Nobody ever sat down.
And so there have been a lot of events, but listen, that was certainly a highlight.
No doubt about that. So Godfather, what are you and the Godmama doing this week?
This week, I don't know. We've come out of a series of events, a birthday party, just yesterday for my grandson, who turned 11. And we got the holidays coming up. And
Godfather, isn't the
get
beauty...
Get together with family.
Isn't the beauty... But the beauty of science is bringing this all to us, the vaccine. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I'm ecstatic. I got my booster a couple weeks ago. But I'm just ecstatic over the fact that normal life is returning post-COVID.
It is, but I'm still wary.
Obviously,
of the new variant,
yeah.
And I just want to close the show.
Yeah, close the show. Godfather, say hello to the Godmama for me. We'll talk next week. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Pedro.
The retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. Somebody said to me, remember when Larry and Floyd had a little get-together on TV when Larry said something like, if I was 30 years younger, I'd take care of you, or something like that. And Floyd looked at him, and they looked back at each other. That was one of the classic moments in HBO television, no doubt about that. Somebody shot me a text on that one. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide on WBC TV. And hour number two, we'll bring in Nico Walsh Ali. He is the grandson of Muhammad Ali, the professional fighter, and we'll talk with him in depth about his grandfather and his professional career as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the break, we'll go into the weekend results. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. As I said, often imitated but never duplicated.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, they had a podcast in the studio just before I got in here, so it was like I only got to spend like 8 or 10 minutes here. But I came in this morning, and I prepped for the show. But it ain't the same. It ain't the same. They sort of broke my little mojo up a little bit. But the bottom line is I'm getting it together. Of course, Gervonta Davis and Isaac Pitbull Cruz in just a few hours. Good luck on that one. As far as Mr. Cruz is concerned, he can fight. He's a world champion, former world champion, and he can really punch. I mean, he just can. But, you know, size matters in two things, and one of them happens to be combat sports. Jessica McCaskill was a winner last night. Of course, she is the women's welterweight champion, pound for pound. She's considered one of the best women's champions, best female champions in the game, no doubt about that. But she was the winner last night. And, of course, Montana Love, he came in with his new contract he signed with Barry Hearn. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. He came in at 144 pounds, 143.8 pounds, when he had a contract for 140, okay? And he was already beating a guy that he was overmatched with skill-wise. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Carlos Diaz was a guy that was from Guadalajara, Mexico, and he was really rough and really tough and this and that. But that's all he brought to the dance was a lot of toughness. I mean, he threw winging shots, and he may have thrown one or two that were effective. But outside of that, if you're not throwing against a guy, you're not going to win against a guy. So that's what sort of cracks me up, is the guys go out there and they say, you know, I'm going to let them punch themselves out. If you're letting a guy punch himself out, you've got to punch with him and still. You can't just let a guy punch, because guess what? He will punch you up and out. Not punch himself out. He will punch you out. Bottom line is, fighters just don't get it. Hopefully Carlos Diaz, of course, Pitbull Diaz comes in, and acquits himself well tonight. But it looks like a size mismatch, as did Devin Haney and his opponent last night. That looked like a size mismatch. Of course, the only guy that seems to be willing to take him on and fight anybody is Mr. Kambosos. And he was talking all kinds of smack before beating Teofimo Lopez. Now Lopez saying, you know, I had a lung condition. Some doctor, you got some quack doctor to say this. And I think Hector says a lot of crazy things. You can believe half of what he says sometimes. Okay. But Hector says a lot of crazy things. But he says, you know, doctors don't know spit about boxing. And he was talking about, when he said spit, he meant spit with an H. And he's got a good point there, because some doctor came on and said, you know, Teofimo fought with an esophagus tear and it must have felt like he had a 300-pound weight on his shoulders trying to breathe this and that. No. Watch the films. He wasn't showing any difficulty whatsoever. So another doctor talking out his ass. Like, you know, I remember my doctor, I won't kid you not, when I told her I was going to start running the lake, she looked at me and basically put her hand on my shoulders. Maybe not so much. Yeah, right. Bottom line is, I do good times running the lake when I have the audacity and the will to go out there and run it. But the bottom line is, I do run 5 days a week. I just don't run the Lake Merced 5 days a week. But anyway, doctors, you know, they're doctors. I mean, we've had Dr. Netensetti on the show. Of course, he's the premier doctor of the New York State Athletic Commission. And he's also a brain surgeon, all that kind of neurosurgeon, all that kind of good stuff. And he's an amateur boxer. So he's sort of caught in a weird position. I mean, he's a medical professional advocating boxing himself. And yet boxing is like, you know, yikes. I mean, guys get hurt in boxing. Speaking of guys getting hurt, the Fort Worth Cobra. I'm talking about Donald Curry. Everybody thought that Donald Curry was gay for a long time. Didn't work out that way. His son, of course, I think his name was Donovan, came out this week and talked about the fact that his father, the former former welterweight and junior middleweight champion of the world, the guy that I bet the house on. Listen, I don't bet too many fights, but I told my stepfather, Mike Ramirez, God rest his soul, and my mother as well, we're going to bet the house on Mike McCallum. And they're going, yeah, but he's a 2.5-to-1 underdog. You know, 2.5-to-1 underdogs don't win. That's what my stepfather's telling me. I'm saying to him, go with me. Because McCallum was the defending junior middleweight champion of the world. I mean, he was a big dude. He was a guy that Tommy Hearns avoided, Roberto Duran avoided. Nobody wanted to fight Mike McCallum. Believe me, nobody. Underline that. Put it in caps. Nobody, okay? So Mike McCallum, of course, takes on Donald Curry, who was in Las Vegas, and somebody said to me, you know, how much money are you going to bet? Well, how much money did I have? I think I bet like $1,500 or something like that. And it was 2.5-to-1. My stepfather, I had to push him to the window, but he bet a bunch of money as well. Mom bet some money. And of course, I think he won by a fourth or a fifth round knockout. It was one of the cleanest one punch knockouts you'll ever see in your life. A sweeping left hook. One of those left hooks like, whoa, this one, you know, most left hooks you can't see coming. Like when I talked about Dave Garcia dropping me, I didn't see that left hook coming. Most hooks you don't see coming. But this hook, the hook that McCallum threw, it was so perfect in form, you could see it coming. He like, whoa, he launched it, baby. So Donald Curry probably saw that before he went to sleep. And from that point forward, his career was like zilch. I mean, just, and the fact that he lost to Jorge Vaca, the fact that he lost to Lloyd Hunnigan, who lost to Jorge Vaca, oh my God, I mean, that's got to question his greatness. Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing up Donald Curry is that his kid and him were in the news this week. They're trying to raise some money for his his mental well-being. They're trying to get him analyzed mentally. They think he's got CTE. They think he's got post-traumatic, boxing damage. He's punch drunk. That's what they're trying to say. He's punch drunk. And that was a bit sad because, you know, he was a game dude. I never saw him dog it out. He was never one of my favorite fighters. Okay. He came from that gym down there and, excuse me. I think it was in Fort Worth, and I can't remember the guy's name that ran it, but he had Stevie Cruz and the guy that beat Gene Hatcher and guys like that, and he ran these guys into the ground. He's having them sparring 12, 15 rounds, 115-degree heat. Yeah, they were in great shape, but guess what? They burnt out quick. I mean, I can't think of that guy's name right now, the manager. Can somebody buzz me on that one? The manager down there in Texas that had Gene Hatcher and Stevie Cruz. I mean, because he ran those guys into the ground. You don't need to spar 15 rounds at 115-degree heat to know you're in shape, okay? That's just not the way it's done. Anyway, back to this week's results and the upcoming fights next week. Of course, next week you've got the world WBC bantamweight champion. Talk about Nonito Donaire. Of course, he's got a rival at 118 pounds. He is called the monster, Naoya Inoue from Japan. He's like undefeated. Donaire broke a couple bones in his face, but ended up losing a 12-round decision to him a couple of years ago. Donaire, of course, a surprise winner, an upset winner, defeating the undefeated champion last time via knockout. He takes on a guy named Raymart Cabala. That's going to go down December the 11th on Showtime. And, of course, December the 11th, DAZN's going to go with Conor Benn, the undefeated kid, of course, the son of Nigel Benn. And Nigel Benn's claim to fame is almost killing Gerald McClellan. I mean, outside of that, I mean, yeah. I mean, he had some decent wins. He won titles 168 pounds. But when I look back at his career, that was like the thing that really jumps out at me because, Gerald was crippled in that one. There's no doubt about it. Of course, in the first round, Gerald McClellan, kid from Detroit, he used to be with Emmanuel Stewart. He left Emmanuel. That's where he got in trouble. Anyway, so he takes this team of, I want to say, hobos with him to the UK to fight Nigel Benn. Well, he knocks Nigel Benn out of the ring into the fourth row in the first round. And the referee counts like, if the referee would have been counting, he would have needed a calculator. I'm saying he would have been like 242, 245, 240. I mean, it was something ridiculous like that. But anyway, Benn climbs back in the ring and they allow the fight to continue. And the fight should not have continued. In fact, had I been in the corner, I'm sorry, in this common sense, fight's over. Fight's over. I mean, my guy is not going to, I'm not risking anything else. You know what? Sanction me, suspend me. We'll have a hearing on this one. But the bottom line is the guy is laying in the third or the fourth row. The fight is basically over at that point in time. I don't care if he's a hometown guy or not. And he was a hometown guy, Nigel Benn. Now, back to his son, Conor Benn. Of course, supposed to be tested by Chris Algieri. Algieri used to fight at junior welterweight, I believe. And now he's fighting at welterweight. Of course, anytime you move up in weight, it's not a good thing, unless like Roberto Duran or Ray Leonard or something like that, because moving up in weight, you're giving up your advantages. That's what this is all about, boxing. Size. I keep saying it, preaching it time and time and time again, but size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. I mean, you know, when I used to fight, I remember, okay, I'll admit it. We went down to the valley a few times and fought guys who were like, mismatches, okay? They were mismatches. And he sort of knew going in, the guy had a gut and things like that. You knew what you were going to do. I mean, but that's sort of how boxing is made. So when somebody just shot me a text, why am I capping on boxing? The fact that Mexican opponents have been drilled the way they have or are about to be drilled the way they have in the past few days, it's just a bad day for Mexico. It's a bad weekend for Mexican fighters as far as some of the matchmaking is concerned, okay? Because when you go against size, that means you're usually going against the promotion. You're going against the promotion, the establishment, the whole nine yards. Speaking of the establishment, my man Earl Spence, of course, he undefeated kid out of Dallas, Texas that got tossed out of that car at 150 miles per hour. If you haven't seen the clip, I suggest you go to YouTube and look at it. Look it up, Earl Spence car wreck, because you're watching this car and then the car smashes, right? And then you see like something get thrown from the car, like somebody throwing a beer from a car or throwing something from a car that like you're getting pulled over and you guys are throwing drugs out of the car, something like that. That's what it was. That's what it looked like. Somebody was throwing something out of the car, but it was the somebody that was being thrown was Earl Spence, of course, and I don't think he'll ever recover from that. And the fact that, you know, he's talking about wanting to fight Terrence Crawford right now. If he wanted to fight Terrence Crawford, he wouldn't have ran out of the arena like a shoplifter a couple of weeks ago, a fortnight ago, of course. He would have done what Kambosos did last night. Got himself a microphone, got real close to his opponent, and said, baby, let's do this. Earl Spence, I don't think he's got the intestinal fortitude to take on Terrence Crawford. Not that Not that Terrence Crawford is the greatest welterweight in the history of boxing. He's not. I mean, he's got great numbers. What are you, 39-0 now? Something like that. You know, multiple 30-something knockouts. So you got to give him all kinds of props for his numbers. But as far as outside of numbers, I mean, the best guy Crawford probably beat was Sean Porter last week. And Sean Porter, in my mind, is not like the second coming of Christ. I hate to use that example twice in the show, but I just don't see him as in a welterweight type of icon. He's a tough guy. He held a belt at one point in time. He's a game guy, but, you know, not the most skilled guy in the world. You know what he's going to do. He's going to try to throw volumes of punches. And outside of that, if you can stick him with a jab and move to the right on Sean Porter, you're going to beat him. Look at what Terrence Crawford. Anyway, Crawford a winner over that. Of course, Crawford and Spence, if they hook it up for the World Welterweight Championship, 147 pounds. You know, I think that Spence should probably fight Virgil Ortiz first, because I think Virgil Ortiz might upset Earl Spence. I really do. And I think that's why they put that fight on the back burner now. Remember they're talking about a month and a half ago? Virgil Ortiz, undefeated, like whatever he's got, all knockouts in his wins. But he's green. Green is like guacamole, but he's a Mexican-American kid fighting out of Texas. So he's got a good base as far as fan base is concerned. Of course, they're going to come out and watch him fight Earl Spence. Earl Spence, the fan base, I don't know. Does Spence have a fan base, or is it the guys that fight Earl Spence to bring the fans to the dance? I just don't know. But Crawford, back to Crawford last week, 190,000 homes on pay-per-view. But a lot of that had to do with the fact that he had ESPN holding him up. What I mean by that is that ESPN's got this big platform now, ESPN Plus, ESPN.com, all kinds of ESPN stuff. And what they did was they held him and they sort of promoted Crawford. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Everywhere you turned around, you were seeing Crawford commercials, and they were put on by ESPN, ESPN doing the commercials themselves. So when they did 190,000 or 200,000 homes, I say right on. So that proves the kid can sell pay-per-views with Top Rank and ESPN. That doesn't mean he can sell pay-per-views on his own. This is the way I look at it. Of course, he can go to Omaha, Nebraska and draw 15,000 people. He drew a good crowd last week. Of course, not fighting in Omaha, but he can draw, just not the type of fight. Until these two guys fight, we've got question marks at 147 pounds. Of course, and then Crawford, of course, the big guy as far as these two guys are concerned, I think he's the bigger, the meaner guy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Terrence Crawford, if he isn't anything, he's mean. He's ghetto. There's no doubt about that. And that's what's needed in boxing. I know too many guys that, you know, have college degrees outside of James Bonecrusher Smith, of course, who became James Bonehugger Smith when he got that big fight with Mike Tyson. The guy held on to Tyson for like, what was it, like a 10 and a half rounds, 11 rounds. In the 12th round, he cracks Tyson. He wobbles Tyson. And then I said to him afterwards, he goes, you know, I think I might have hurt Mike Tyson there. I said, you big dummy. College education or what? Yes, you did hurt Mike Tyson. It's just that you didn't throw enough punches to capitalize on it. You heard him once like, whoa, like, I don't want to piss you off, Mike. I'm sorry I hurt you. That's the way Bonecrusher Smith sort of responded to that fight. Of course, that was the 12th round, but he was the WBA champion, I think, coming in at that point in time. And Tyson was a WBC champion. Of course, that was outdoors, I think, at the Las Vegas Riviera or the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel. Good memories. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, hour number two. Nico Walsh Ali, the grandson of Muhammad Ali. Of course, I know a little about Ali. So we'll have his grandson in the house in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, live on Veev TV.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The guitar, the man, the mighty man, Jerry Cortez, of course, Tower of Power on the Soul Side of Town, one of the recent cuts. They've got recent cuts. Of course, Tower of Power doing things since 1968. God, they're like ancient. Bottom line is they're still rocking and rolling, though. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. And hour number two, we will bring in Ali Nico Walsh. Nico Walsh Ali, of course, he's the grandson of Muhammad Ali. He's an undefeated prospect with a couple of fights. We'll talk with him in depth in hour number two. But right now I want to say, well, you know, with boxing in Las Vegas and boxing in Dallas to an extent, like, you know, some of the big fights in Texas, but boxing in Las Vegas and New York and L.A., outside of that, what happened to boxing in Atlantic City? what happened to boxing in Atlantic City was Atlantic City, of course, went in the tubes when Donald Trump sort of bankrupted the town, and then that town was no more as far as buying fights were concerned, of course. Biloxi, Mississippi. What happened to Biloxi? I mean, I used to go down there. I would do fights in Biloxi, and it was so sort of cool because I can't remember the guy's name, but he ran the Athletic Commission in Mississippi, and the only way he would get paid from boxing promoters was in cash. Barry, I can't remember his name right now, but anyway, he would only get paid in cash. Since I was working for Harold Smith, I had to get the cash together to go pay the Athletic Commission. It was like $500 or $600 or something like that. $500 or $600 in cash we had to give him, and then we had to pay him a little bit later. But why not him? But Billy Lyons, I think that was his name. But yeah, Billy Lyons. It was a bit of a shakedown. The Mississippi Athletic Commission was a big shakedown. They just shook us down for money every time we went down there. Anyway, we had good times, but yeah, some of the good fights down there. But what happened to Biloxi? They're not doing fights at all. Not that it was a great place to go to, wink, wink, but they had good ice cream, and they gave me access to the kitchen 24-7, so that was sort of really cool. But outside of that, what happened to Biloxi? What happened to Atlantic City? Boxing changes. You know, geographically it changes, and of course fighters change. Speaking of fighters, as I said, Ali Jr., or Ali grandson in hour number two, we'll talk with him in depth. We'll hear from Teofimo Lopez, of course, the sorest loser in the history of boxing in the past 5 or 6 years. No doubt about that. What a sore loser he was, of course. And we'll hear about him and Kambosos. Kambosos going post-fight, of course. That was last week. But straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Stay tuned for hour number two after the news. You are tuned to Ring Talk, often imitated, but never duplicated.